You live in a gated community.
It's called a gated community.
In the gay community.
I just want us to have an open conversation, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, anybody. I want this to be a safe space for everyone.
Racism is alive and well in the gay community.
The gay community.
Gay community as us as a trans community.
Who is having that conversation?
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Gated Community Podcast. I appreciate you for listening. So listen, I'm just going to jump right into it. Tonight, I want to discuss gay for pay, what it means, what it looks like, how it happens, and why it's wrong, right? So yeah, I want to touch on gay for pay. And when people think gay for pay, many of you think of men who identify as straight but perform gay sex in porn in exchange for money. But the concept isn't limited to the pornography industry. Many heterosexual people in Hollywood, both men and women, are paid to act in roles that portray homosexual characters. Take, for instance, Charlize Theron in Monster, playing Eileen Wuornos, a bisexual prostitute turned serial killer. Heath Ledger in Jake Gyllenhaal in Brokeback Mountain, about a beautiful love story depicting two men who, after meeting each other and building a bromance, they both discover that they are unhappily married to their wives and find their true love within each other. Chiwetel Ejiofor, playing the role of a drag queen in Kinky Boots, as if RuPaul doesn't have dozens of seasons filled with qualifying queens. One of my favorite movies, Harvey Milk, where Sean Penn plays a gay activist turned American politician, the first openly gay elected official in California, might I add, who changed the course of gay history in San Francisco before being assassinated in 1978. We don't have much representation on the big screen, and it's a bit insulting to have our stories told and illustrated by paid actors who train, rehearse, and pretend to be us when we're actually the ones who are readily capable and available to show up as the person in the role that they're pretending to be. Not to take away from the art of the performance, but doesn't it make more sense for a transgender to play the role of a transgender instead of someone like Felicity Huffman, a cisgender woman cast to play a trans woman in the movie Trans America? One might argue that acting is a form of art used to tell stories, and it shouldn't matter who tells it, as long as the actor's portrayal is convincing and believable. But by that theory, actors who happen to be gay would have a significant presence in a range of acting roles and auditions, significance in quantity and quality.
Thank you, Ryan Murphy.
But without the opportunity, biased and prejudicial casting will continue to pervade Hollywood and capitalize off of our culture with placeholders. I'm not sure if the appropriation of sexual orientation is a thing, but sometimes it sure does feel like it, especially in Hollywood. Because this can lead to confusion. As a gay person, when I see an actor playing the role of a gay person in a good movie, it's almost second nature for me to feel seen. Not necessarily because of the acting skills, but because at some point while watching the movie, there was dialogue making it known that this person is gay. And it's easy for people to transfer that off screen while getting caught up in translation. So when I see Trevante Rhodes as Chiron in the movie Moonlight, there's a part of me that believes that he's gay during daylight and not just in Moonlight. Maybe because I see an attractive, talented Black man who indirectly provides representation for the gay community. Or maybe because it would only be right for someone with the blueprint of Mr. Trevante Rhodes to play the role of a person who struggles with transparency and sexual orientation, because I know of many Black men who look like and can identify with the struggle of Chiron, and he's literally telling their story.
Introducing Apprehension.
The same Black man watching the film and identifying with what he's watching on screen doesn't know it yet, but he's summoning the courage to come out of that stuffy closet. He's so moved by the film that he's actually thinking about doing it. I mean, why not? Trevante and Andre did, or at least Black and Kevin did.
The voice of this character is one in particular that people haven't heard very often, and they're curious, you know? And then they go and they see the film and they go, that voice is kind of similar to mine, you know? I can kind of relate to this guy.
But when the movie ends, so does the inspiration. Take a moment to imagine if the guys in Moonlight who played the characters of closeted Black gay men were homosexual in their everyday lives. The wind blowing the flame of inspiration may burn hotter and brighter. Because although these are fictional characters, the storyline is real. And the representation is needed. But at the end of the day, it's only a movie. And no matter how many times the film is watched, the ending remains the same. And the fact remains that six young men who play these characters go home to their girlfriends and or wives once the director yells,
cut,
and the check is cut and collected. Gay for pay in conventional films and television is just as employable as it is in the porn industry, and the productions are no less contrarian. The difference is, box office productions are sanitized and packaged in regal wrapping paper with an Academy Award monogram and sharp creases. Because presentation is everything, even when representation is not. What's more, Moonlight became the first ever LGBTQ movie to win Best Picture at the Academy Awards. A well-deserved award for an incomparable film that depicts the journey of a Black man in three stages of his life. Youth, adolescent, and adult, struggling to come to terms with his homosexuality. Portrayed on screen by
straight men.
Let that sink in. Film director Barry Jenkins was very methodical about layering the period pieces within the film with three different actors to show a timeline of growth. And Jenkins was intentional about making each character different. Three missed opportunities to cast a homosexual to play a homosexual in a film that earned one of the highest tiers in acting awards in a movie about homosexuality at its core.
So I wanted to cast different people to play the same person, and I wanted them to be different.
But it's not all about the actors. Co-director and screenwriter Terrell Alvin McCraney had a heavy influence and a sense of autonomy over the film, with the power to make executive decisions on who stays and what goes. After all, Moonlight is based on his life. You'd think that the creative direction would remain true to form by showcasing a gay person on screen, not just behind the camera. But then there's this.
The reality of it is that, you know, especially with the small films, it seems to me that they often have that, you know, the pressure of like getting big names in them so that they can get the movies made.
Which is understandable, but it doesn't make it okay. There's also the tactic of using masculinity as a tool to appeal to sensationalism.
This is what masculinity looks like. This is what it sounds like.
But this can also be interpreted as Barry Jenkins and Terrell Alvin McCraney using the art of manipulation to mastermind the planting of seeds in the minds of gay men to convince the viewer that despite the internal struggle and battle with internalized homophobia, the guy gets the guy in the end. With Chiron and Kevin illustrating what a gay couple should look like. Two strong, muscular, sensitive, edgy, masculine men who exemplifies and has what it takes to navigate through heteronormativity and can easily be misunderstood for a straight man. But this is not what our happily ever after looks like, and it shouldn't be ignored that it can be damaging to send this type of message to a community with a mass majority who seem to be incapable of self-love and awareness and wanting to be with someone who bleeds masculinity. Obviously, Chiron and Kevin and Moonlight and film directors in Hollywood are not responsible for the insecurities or love lives or persuading the actions and ideas of anyone. Well, maybe insecurities. Because it's just a movie. Yes, it is just a movie. But it's so much more. And it's extremely important for our people to play our parts when we tell our stories and the stories of others.
I never dreamed that the story that I would get to tell, the one that I lived through, would be, I lived through that.
Yeah.
You know, I lived through this. It's so important to me. It's so powerful, you know, when we actually get to the stories of people, real people.
You're HIV positive. I'm sorry.
This is the moment that I dreaded most. Dodged it for years. And now the son of a bitch has finally caught up with me.
We have the power as artists to change the molecular structure.
Because if Hollywood is going to capitalize off of our culture by telling our stories, then the least they can do is be inclusive on both sides of the camera.
Then there's P-Valley.
J. Alphonse Nicholson does an outstanding performance with the role of Lil Murda. I can't take that away from him, but here again, we have the story of an attractive Black man who uses a lot of coordination to keep his sexual orientation out of the wrong ears and away from any eyes of judgment.
The role that you played, a rapper, but a rapper on the down low, low key. And it's actually something very common in the Black community. How did this role come about for you when you auditioned for it? Did you know the full scope of who Lil Murda was going to be? And how has the response been ever since?
I would say the role chose me. Then, of course, I made a final decision on it. But I met Katori Hall, the creator of P-Valley, in New York through the theater scene, where I played someone totally opposite than Lil Murda. Some time later, she emailed me and said, yo, I think I got a role for you that I would love to bring you in to audition. And she sent me over this character breakdown. I said, oh, man, okay, cool. All right. I'm a heterosexual man. This is going to be on national TV. I had the opportunity to, experience on stage where I've had to kiss men before. But that's in most of the time where it's not as large of an audience. And they're also, it's not as intimate, right? So for me, that was the initial thought, like, okay, how comfortable I am with this. Let me talk to my lady about it.
By definition, Lil Murda is a stereotype of the alpha male who plays the lifestyle of a rapper on the DL, a.k.a. Trade, and happens to be attracted to men.
And Uncle Clifford.
The type of gay man that comes with the unique version of bragging rights. For a gay guy to be seen or sexually involved with a piece of trade in the gay community, it can mean and feel like you have one up on others because you're basically banging a parenthetical straight boy. And to some, this is equivalent to arm candy or what straight men might deem to be trophy wives. I get that portraying a gay character is not exclusive to identifying as gay in the actor's personal life. Believe me, I do.
Acting is about taking on a character and becoming that character. It doesn't matter what sexuality you are. That doesn't mean anything.
So Call Me By Your Name is another one of my favorite movies. Call Me By Your Name is based on a novel by the same name. Like I said, one of my favorite movies about love, romance, infidelity, and mutual understanding. It tells a story of what it looks like to fall in love with marginal reciprocity. The energy is so magnetic between Elio and Oliver on screen that it sends you into this intergalactic space where all you can feel is love with each minute that passes. A young man falling in love with an older guy. He thought that he knew what love was with his girlfriend, that is, until he met Oliver, who was tall, charming, handsome, and elusive. It's a tale of self-discovery, overcome with lust and newness that has an innocent way of translating what it looks like when obsessing over every painstakingly detail of the process to be the best version of yourself, which is what most of us do when we're falling in love for the first time. Elio is so absorbed by the presence of his older love interest that at many times during the movie, his body language speaks where his words fail him. And it's not awkward or weird, it's raw and unhinged and honest. And it triggers the feelings of being in love for the first time, if you've been there before. Or any romantical love for that matter. It takes you to a space and time where authenticity is real and thriving and alive and reliable. To a space where quality time is appreciated and you can be happy in his company sitting or laying in silence and feeling settled because all you need at the moment is right beside you. Throughout the film, you become cemented in distraction and immersed into their world of love, lust, happiness, sadness, and hope. All without leaving your couch. They show you what powerful love language looks like, what it feels like. These two became more than characters. They became real. They were real. They are real. They're also heterosexual in real life.
You know, while I don't think that it mattered so much that Walter was Black, for the story, it matters in life that he is.
Oh, did someone say something about porn? Oh, yeah. So speaking of porn, let's tap into how gay for pay actors perpetuates the
straight male sexual encounter relationship fantasy.
It's no secret that gays salivate over attractive guys named Chad. We're just going to use Chad. Chad. Yeah, he's definitely a Chad. Chad with a case of abs, muscular arms, a chiseled chest, and a bubble butt with a big dick. I can't even say this without laughing. But the thing that really triggers their palpitations is if Chad is a straight man, appears to be one, or whose sexuality is in purgatory. The gays love to question the sexuality of a Chad. Chad can be a serial arsonist with emotional paralysis who's jobless with a bad habit of not returning your phone calls, thanks to his degree in fuckboy communications. But none of that matters when you look like Chad, with your clear skin, continuous fresh breath, untouchable swag, and big dick energy. Think Chris Evans, or Michael B. Jordan, or Mehdi Dabai, or Jeremy Meeks, aka Prison Bay. Now imagine you in one of those four, with one of you on all fours. That part. But for some, it's more than a fantasy. For some, it can be an expectation. Any logical person would know that there's a difference between virtual reality and actual reality, but sometimes you can look for a person within a person and not even realize it. It can be fun to try new things with new people, be it a hookup or a boyfriend. It can also be fun to entertain a fetish or a kink, but it gets dangerous when fulfilling that fetish feeds your subconscious and grooms your mind to look for, obtain, and expect unrealistic truths by attempting to morph a person into this fantastical character that you want them to be. Porn has been known to create chasms in relationships. Thinking about Chad while having sex with your partner is an example of that. Accidentally calling out Chad's name during sex, or becoming frustrated and impotent because your partner isn't fucking you the way that you imagine Chad would. Chad is all in your head, and while you're warning some of his, he's steadfast in declaring his heterosexuality to the cast and crew on the set before and after filming his sex scenes, with the understanding that he's no different than any other actor performing for a check, because
acting is taking on a character and becoming that character.
And standing off to the side of the bed where he just finished penetrating the bottom, who is gay, and bringing them both to orgasm, just out of the camera's view, is his girlfriend. You know, for support. Immediately after the cameraman gets the money shot and the producer confirms it's a wrap, Chad walks over to his girlfriend, who meets him halfway to clean off the exchange of bodily fluids from the now finished
boy next door fucked by ex-hung Navy SEAL
scene that's sure to procure thousands of views, if nothing more than for its title. One of the most shocking aspects of the gay porn industry is its number of straight performers. It's hard to quantify just how many Chads are playing gay dads, because the number depends on whom you ask. There's a wide discrepancy in estimates, but according to the porn industry, the percentage ranges from as low as 20% to as high as 50%. According to one inside source, some gay performers don't think they're all that hetero. The source continues,
"If those guys are there, they're really not straight. They're turned on by the cameras. It's kind of secretive and dangerous. It's like they're getting away with something that they're not supposed to be doing."
End quote. Still, most gay performers believe there are plenty of hetero performers in gay porn. So does this make them bisexual? Gay? If none of the above, then it begs the question, how are straight guys able to accomplish and maintain solid erections for their gay partners on screen? Well, they prepare the same way as any other guy would prepare. But as straight guys, they're more focused on the money. To most of them, the thoughts of how it will feel is eclipsed by the profit for their performance. And then there's straight guys who are
paid
for bottoming in gay porn, which is usually followed up with defending their heterosexuality with the concept that
gay porn pays more than straight porn.
Kind of like when male strippers follow the highest bidder home after the after hours.
To which I say,
muéstrame una persona heterosexual que tiene sexo gay por dinero y hay un... mantiene su heterosexualidad y te mostraré a alguien que venderá su alma por un dólar.
But that's a conversation and a recommended therapy session for another episode. Also, have you ever seen a hot guy with feminine mannerisms performing in gay porn who identifies as straight? No? I guess that kills the fantasy. I noticed I haven't even touched on how gay people are cast for straight roles. That's an entirely different conversation and an entirely different episode. So with that, I'll leave you with this. If you just happen to be a director, producer, a screenwriter, or an agent or a casting director, and you think that we're not talented enough to perform in a role that requires, resembles, or has the rhetoric of homosexuality, think again.
It feels more authentic if you have a gay person playing a gay character.
Because if anything, I think that most actors who happen to be gay may even be more qualified than your A-list actor or celebrity. Why? Because, I mean, if you think about it realistically, most gays have been playing heterosexual roles their entire lives. And I mean, like, in real life, with their family, in school, at work, on their jobs, in the general public. And if that's not a resume, I don't know what is.
But this is my point. Christopher's absolutely right that there are loads of gay actors and gay people in show business and the media. They're not short of them. What I'm saying is, if you think of the biggest stars, the Hollywood stars, why is it that for generations since it came about, they have almost all been heterosexual?
It's called a gated community.
I'm in a gated community. All the gays are
live. You live in a gated community.
African people are not pro-homosexual.
Who is having that conversation?